it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Jared Stillman dropping by at 7 o'clock. We'll be joined by him, and we'll get into a lot of things with Jared, including just his incredible run of tweets lately that have just totally blown up in his face when it comes to college basketball. Guaranteeing Duke's win against Tennessee, and then talking a couple of times this week on Twitter about how Tennessee was going to kill FAU. We'll get into that coming up at 7 o'clock. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock joining us, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Joe Rexroad, good morning, live from New York City. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing okay. Better than, you know, than the Tennessee men's basketball team and its fans. Tough way to go down there for the Vols. Just you could kind of see it in their body language down the stretch, man. It was just like, boy, as soon as they took a couple punches, they crumbled.
Yep, no question about that. Tennessee falls 62-55 last night to FAU in the Sweet 16. Joe, they were winning 27-22 at halftime and then get outscored 40-28 in the second half. And like you said, there was a point in the second half where – you could just kind of feel it and see it coming, and that, you know, that was even coming through the TV screen as I was watching it. I'm sure that it was similar while you were there in Madison Square Garden last night. But the Vols shoot 21-63 from the field, 33.3%, 6-23 from three last night, and they go down in the Sweet 16. And we talked about this kind of heading into the game, Joe. I mean, the bracket had opened up and Purdue had gone down, but you said a couple of times yesterday, FAU is a pretty darn good team, and FAU is now in the Elite Eight. Rick Barnes talked after the game last night about how they're deserving of that, but a very, very disappointing loss for the Tennessee Volunteers last night.
Yeah, I mean, my seat was, you know, directly across from the bench, so I watched the bench a lot late, especially, and even like some like the coaches. It's almost like, I mean, it was like looks of just pain on their faces, you know, just as they watch it kind of crumble. And, you know, it's some of this is just straight up just the limitations of this team at times. Like, yeah, I mean, they don't have a point guard.
Yep.
I mean, it's funny though. I mean, Jemiah Mashak at least was trying to go to the hole and he made some plays, but they just, when they get into those stretches and, you know, the emotion flips on them and once FAU started to hit a few of those shots, I thought Tennessee looked tired too. I mean, just you know, slow rotating. All of a sudden, I mean, the first half is like, gosh, how is FAU going to get anything? You know, the way the Vols are defending and turning them over. I think they had 9 pretty quick turnovers against FAU, and I don't remember the number. I'm going to look at the number, but it was like 9 pretty quick turnovers. And then they end up with 12 in the whole game. So they turned the ball over, I'd say, about 3 times in the last, like, probably 25 minutes of the game. That's good. And, again, a good team. You hit a few of those threes, and it's just, man, it just flips on you. So, you know, a flawed team, Tennessee, for sure. And you saw why and what the flaws were last night.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, this is one of those things where you knew, like, how – equipped was Tennessee to overcome an offensive lull and a poor offensive performance? That was kind of the question that we had talked about really for months with this team, even dating back to before Zakai Ziegler got hurt. Like, it's not like that they were some offensive juggernaut before he got hurt, but obviously when you lose him, that's a tough blow. But I mean, a question that we talked about all the time was, you know, can this team survive just an offensive lull at some point that we've seen them go through time and time again so far this year? And the bottom line is, like, you know, they still, I mean, they're a good defensive team. I mean, they're an elite defensive team. There's no question about it. And you start to look at the numbers, it's incredible what they do. but you shoot 33% in a tournament game, and you're probably not going to like the end result of that at the end of the day, and that's where they find themselves out in a tournament where, like we talked about, I mean, the bracket did open up for them with the number one seed going down. And by the way, what a great game between Michigan State and Kansas State yesterday. We'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes, but everything was right there in front of you if you're this Tennessee team, and it's got to be, especially the way it ended, just because it's so familiar with the offensive lulls just striking this team yet again, and here they are finding themselves out in the Sweet 16. And like you said, Joe, just the offense on this team all year long was so hit or miss that you just never really knew what you were going to get offensively.
Yeah, and I mean, you could look at one obvious example is game to game is Olivier Kamwa, right?
Yep.
You know, 27 points, you know, really is the key there to them outlasting Duke. And so in this game, he has 6 points, 2 for 9, just a rough shooting night. He did have 4 assists. But, you know, their key guy, their main guys they want to take shots are Kamwa, Vescovie, James, and Tyreek Key. So that's 2 for 9, 3 for 11, 3 for 11, 2 for 9. So that's by my math, that's 10 for 40. The main guys you want taking shots, you know. And you know, some of that is, I mean, gosh, the last possession, it's like they missed 6 in a row, it felt like.
Yeah.
You know. Then I'm really glad we had that review with 4 seconds left.
Yeah, me too.
Really, really needed to know. Talk about an uncomfortable moment. And basically, I mean, it took so long. You know, Rick Barnes basically started having his post game kind of like, you know, make you feel better speech to his players there on the floor. But it's like, what are you guys doing? It's a 7-point game. Make a call, whatever. And they actually have to sit there and take all this time. I mean, think about how stupid that is.
Yeah.
I don't know why that bothers me so much, but it's just like, can we have any common sense at all?
I had similar thoughts. It's like, let's get on with it, man. The game's over. Let's pick a call and go with it.
One of these teams is going to inbound the ball and dribble it, let the clock run out. God. But, you know, and they had some good shots, but they had, it's just like, and what Rick Barnes said, I agree with. And the thing is, you think about early in the game, it's like, okay, and this happens. How are they going to deal with Plavsic? You know, they can't deal with Plavsic. I mean, early on, he was going off. He has 8 early points, and he ends up with 8 points.
Yep.
And, you know, some of that is that they suffer defensively at times when he's on the floor. You know, I mean, you get Kamwa in space, you get a big moving on him, you get him slipping screens, that can be problematic, and that did play out. But they just didn't have anybody, you know, to just go force the issue. You know, they only take 12 free throws. And you know, not to pick on one person, I do have to think he's hurt. But what did we say going into this tournament? You know, Julian Phillips, yep, that's the guy who can slash, who can drive, who's a super athlete. You know, 12 minutes, 2 shots, missed them both, 1 rebound. I mean, basically just a complete non-factor. You know, he launched up a couple threes. I mean, that's, you know, without that element, this offense can really get stodgy.
Well, and we saw that happen for sure. And, you know, Vescovy, 3 of 11 last night. Josiah Jordan-James, 3 of 11 last night. It just, nobody was really shooting the ball all that well. I mean, Meshack ended up 3 for 6 and Adu was 4 or 5. But, I mean, there was nobody really shooting the ball all that well last night that was playing significant minutes. And it was one of those games too where, you know, I thought in the first half, Joe, I mean, you held FAU to 22 in the first half, and I was like, well, this is going to be yet another one of those just bring him down to the mud games like they talked about after the Duke game in Tennessee. It's probably not going to be pretty, and offensively it certainly wasn't pretty for Tennessee in the first half. But I mean, you hold them to 22, you're feeling pretty good about the way you're defending in the first half. And that was just not the case in the second half. And, you know, as good as their defense is, it's going to take more than elite defense to make a deep, deep run in the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but, you know, and the thing is, so go back a year, I mean, really, you know, offensively, they were fine in the Michigan game. They had a bad matchup. I mean, Hunter Dickinson kind of just killed them, and then, so really, like, their defense kind of failed them last year, you know? I mean, I think the way that they coach and teach defense and recruit to it, like, I think you can always count on that being at least pretty good. You just got to have a more balanced team than this. I mean, even before Ziegler got hurt, I thought, you know, you can't put it all on him. So you gotta recruit another point guard. Now maybe BJ Edwards is that guy. Now BJ Edwards didn't play much at all this year. They like him. So, you know, maybe that'll make the difference. And look, I don't think Mayshak was bad.
No.
But, you know, is he better as a wing? One way or another, he's going to be a key guy for them moving forward. But, you know, I think a lot of these guys, a lot of these guys could come back. I have a feeling they won't. With some of them, I really feel they won't. I do think Josiah Jordan James is an interesting case as a fifth-year possibility. But for the most part, you know, they're going to lose a lot of these guys, and it's going to be a new looking team next year. But yeah, you got to figure out a way to be a little more fluid and just a little bit more able to get to the rim offensively.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, Joe, Michelle, how y'all doing, man?
We're good, Mark.
Good, Mark.
Hey. I see. Another loss for Rick Barnes. I was going to ask you, Robbie and Joe. Joe, do you think the seat's going to get a little warm for Rick coming up next season? Do you know what I mean? He's getting paid like he's a Final Four coach, but he just can't seem to get there. I noticed the one thing with Rick Barnes, when it comes time to making key adjustments in those crunch moments, he kind of fades away. It's like he can't make those adjustments or anything, man. It's like he loses all train of thought. Try to make those adjustments. Would you agree or disagree with me?
Thanks for the call, Mark.
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to tell me the adjustment. I don't know. I don't know if I agree that, like, he loses his mind on the sideline or anything like that. You know, it's like, I mean, last game against Duke, you know, they hit shots and the adjustments were there. You know, I can't sit here and say, here's the adjustment Rick Barnes should have made that he didn't. You know, now, will his seat get warm? Now look, I agree, Mark. I mean, I agree. He is paid like a Final Four coach. I agree. And you can't never make the Final Four, you know, if you're going to be paid in that top tier of coaches. So, but is the seat going to get warm, like legitimately from the administration warm? I don't know. I don't know if I buy that. Again, it's like, I know some Vols fans don't want to hear about history of the program, right? Because at some point you lift the floor to the point where it's like, okay, well, this is the new expectation.
Right.
And again, when that pay is part of that, obviously it's a good program. You know, it's a winning program. They're going to have a good team next year. You know, just counting on the NCAA tournament every year, man. I mean, if you're a longtime Tennessee basketball fan thinking about like every year, like basically, you know, you're going to be in the NCAA tournament. That's foreign to you, completely foreign to you. I think the seat is going to get warm with fans. Increasingly, and I think getting to the Sweet 16 this year was huge for him. But I think he's going to make the call on when he's done at Tennessee.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. The Vols fall to FAU in the Sweet 16. What do you make of Tennessee's performance last night in the tournament? The conversation around Rick Barnes and your thoughts on this team as they exit before the Elite Eight with an opportunity, a good opportunity, right in front of them last night. 615-737-1025. We'll continue that conversation next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Tennessee falls last night in the Sweet 16. They go down 62-55 at the hands of the Florida Atlantic Owls at Madison Square Garden last night. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Our buddy Rainey on the text line says the Vols were outcoached last night, and there's going to be a lot of conversation around Rick Barnes today as it relates to Tennessee fans. I saw a lot of it immediately after the game last night. And, Joe, I do wonder, you know, Mark brings up the hot seat. You know, is Rick Barnes on that heading into next year? I'm kind of with you. Like, I think with a good portion of the fan base, maybe not, I don't know what the percentage would be, but a healthy portion of the fan base, he's already kind of there. Like they're fed up with the tournament narrative and all this other stuff. And You know, can Rick Barnes ever win the big one? And then there's the other part of the fan base that's like, hey, Tennessee basketball hadn't really been that great, and it's been the best it's ever been under Rick Barnes by far. Why don't you guys just chill and see what happens and let him kind of do his thing? I am interested, like, today, because I think a couple of things can be true. And look, if you're a casual Tennessee fan and a casual college basketball fan, you're going to say, huh, FAU is who they lost to. Huh, how about that? I think we probably need to just go ahead and recognize FAU is pretty darn good, and I think we've seen that so far, and that part of it can be true. And I think it's also, at the same time, you could look and say, man, Tennessee, what an opportunity you just let go down the drain to get to the Elite Eight for the second time in program history and have a chance against a Kansas State team that is very exciting, and what a game that was yesterday, a chance to put yourself in position to get into the Final Four, and you squandered it at this point. I think both of those things can be true while not taking anything away from an FAU team that's been awfully impressive so far in the tournament.
No, I agree. I mean, FAU is good. Some people thought this was just going to be a cakewalk, and I but I
guarantee.
Yeah. Is that, wait, did he guarantee?
I don't know if he fully guaranteed this one, but he did say that Tennessee is going to kill FAU.
Oh, God. Well, I saw, like, well, Vingan had a, yeah, you saw his tweet. Apparently, he said something like, this game's over now. Move on to the Final Four. Mark, Oh, the takes.
It's like a 6-point game at the time, but yeah. In the first half.
Wow. Yeah, but no, I agree with your point. Look, it's a very good FAU team. This happens. Some of the, I mean, that team is, they got a couple guys that Jonell Davis in particular, he didn't have a huge night, but he is a tough cover. He did have 15. He got to the line 10 times. He didn't have a huge night, but basically they found a few guys that the Forest, he only had 11 points, but he had the back-to-back threes that really, I thought, flipped the game. But yeah, it's a good team for sure. I think Kansas State's going to beat them because Marquise Knoll is a freaking just rock star. I mean, just unfreaking believable.
Rooting for them now.
Yeah, I mean that guy is like he needs to be in the Final Four. I like I was saying on our work Slack channel last night. I'm like, I'm mad that I didn't really watch Kansas State much this year. What was I doing? But still, like that team, it would have been very interesting to watch the Vols defensively against him and them because Michigan State had no answers. The Vols would have done a much better job defensively against them. It's not some overwhelming. And maybe this whole region, I mean, we saw what happened with Purdue. Like, what you could look at it like it could have been a great opportunity. But the bottom line is you get into this grouping of four teams, and you feel like you're the best team. And I think on paper, talent just won through, 13 of scholarship players and everything taken into account, Tennessee was the best team on paper. And so when you have that situation in a regional round, That's a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just and FAU is good, no doubt. I mean that anybody who thought they couldn't win this game, like no, they absolutely had a chance all along. But also the way Tennessee played, I mean, you're talking about 16 points in the last 12 minutes of the game. I mean, it's just and a lot of cases, just the thing is, it wasn't turnovers. They only had six. But they just like you watch them on offense and it's like they may have had like an initial action, initial set, and then it's just standing around, and they looked tired and it was just a really disappointing performance and blown opportunity.
Well, and I do think like if you're a Tennessee fan hearing that and watching that unfold last night, it's like, all right, well, yeah, then that's been the case a lot this year where they just collapse offensively. Why does that continue to happen? And again, it could be as easy as, well, they lost their point guard, but this was happening when Ziegler was in there. So why does that continue to happen with, I agree with you, like with what is a really talented group. And, by recruiting rankings, by watching these guys play, there's lots of ability on this team. Why was offense and just, falling apart at certain different stretches offensively consistently this year, why was that so big of an issue for Tennessee and for Rick Barnes?
Yeah, that's a It's a fair question. It's the absolutely without Zeke. And I think at times they just fall too in love with the jump shot. You know, I think they just kind of, I think feeling a lot of possessions. It's kind of like, I mean, Key last night, I just didn't like how he played. Basically, like every sort of whatever shot he got, he just launched it up, you know? So at times it's like they're not working for a better shot, but then they'll have a lot of possessions that go late in the shot clock and you just have to launch one. Again, Phillips was a guy who was supposed to be, you know, like Chandler last year. Okay, now you can get to the rim. And it's not like Zeger didn't get to the rim, but Chandler last year, a little bit bigger, a little bit more physical. He was a problem, you know, and he would sort of fill in the gaps offensively. They need that. And Phillips obviously did not do that in this tournament. And they need more attacking. But look, if you want to talk about the coaching aspect of this, Barnes, I think that's a consistent thing. I mean, he's, you know, the NCAA tournament record, of course. But also, I think Barnes has been, you know, a better defensive coach than offensive coach overall through his career, you know. So there's that. But he's also, I mean, if you go through everything, he's had some prolific offensive teams. You got to have the right combination, you know, of players. And, look, I think you have to look at the coaches some when they go through these stretches. I think sometimes Barnes needs to take timeouts earlier. You know, I think he waits a little bit too long at times. And I mean, it's not like people say he was out coached. I mean, that's fine. I mean, they lost, you know. I can't sit here. I know he got asked last night about, having the big lineups in a little bit more in the second half. But I mean, you know, the thing is, like, they're getting their butts kicked on the boards by FAU, you know. I mean, that's one of the most, probably the most surprising set of the game is that they got out rebounded, and FAU got some huge offensive rebounds. So Tennessee's getting the stop, and then they're not getting the rebound. But the offensive answer is, you know, not too many guys who just kind of settle for that jump shot and not enough going to the rim and being aggressive.
Liam on the text line says, lots of parallels to Vandy fans wanting to run off Kevin Stallings. Be careful what you wish for. Chuck on the text line says, it didn't look like Tennessee had the same intensity and effort level against FAU that they did against Duke. It looked exactly like Texas under Barnes. This is from Chuck on the text line. So a couple of different thoughts on the Barnes situation there.
Yeah, in intensity and effort, well, those weren't problems. But confidence and, you could see it on their faces. Like, they just sort of, you know, they just sort of got down once it flipped the other way. Like, they just, I mean, they were spilling it out there, okay? Like they had the effort, but the confidence was not there, you know? I mean, FAU kind of sapped it. And this is where, you know, I think moving forward, Ziegler and Mayshak are probably going to be their leaders. This is where I would say, like, I mean, I think Josiah James and Vescovi, those guys have been good leaders, but they weren't able to, you know, stem that tide. And we've seen that before, you know. I mean, they're trying. They're out there yelling at guys. They're trying to keep guys engaged, but, you know, they just weren't able to do it. So it wasn't effort or anything like that. I mean, Cam says, how many offensive sets did they run? You know, they do have actions. They have sets, but what happens with a lot of teams. So look at Kansas State last night, you know, 98-93. They had some plays, but for the most part, it's like you're going to get into a ball screen, and then you're going to – if you have a wizard like him, he's going to do something to find somebody for a shot.
Yep.
And Tennessee, you know, again, Mayshak learning the position, I think he did pretty well down the stretch, but they don't have that guy who can just, okay, here's the ball in your hands, go. And a lot of times in this game, that's what it comes down to. It's like, forget the set work. No, we didn't get the shot we wanted. Okay, ball screen and go. And they just don't have that guy. Healthy.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on Tennessee, the loss in the Sweet 16 to FAU, and your thoughts on Rick Barnes as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. We'll have Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 6:45. You can go ahead and get your called shots in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jared Stillman joining the show at 7 o'clock. Right now talking Vols and the loss last night in the Sweet 16 for Rick Barnes and the Tennessee men's basketball team. They fall to FAU 62-55, and yet another disappointing loss. Now, you know, it is different, like you said, Joe. I mean, you get the win against Duke, the advance to the Sweet 16, and I think Tennessee fans were feeling really good. A lot of Tennessee fans that, quite frankly, I think were somewhat checked out heading into the tournament, all of a sudden got checked back in a hurry when they took down Duke, and then you followed up with a loss to FAU in the Sweet 16. So a missed opportunity there. The real question is, like, where does this program go from here? Like, how if you're Rick Barnes, because, look, Rick Barnes, you know, they're not going to fire him right now. I hesitate to make those statements after John Robinson. Yeah, I should probably just shut up. But they're not going to fire Rick Barnes right now. He's going to be the coach next year, and he is going to have a – I think they're going to have a good team. Now, the question is, like, based on what we've seen, I know when I ask this question, like, most Tennessee fans are like, well, no, it's not going to happen. But can Rick Barnes find his way to constructing a roster that, come tournament time, is playing well at the right time? You're good offensively. You're good defensively. You've got all the tools. The problem is, Joe, like, I think they've had some of those teams before, and for whatever reason in the tournament, it just hadn't worked out.
All right. I was just going to say, he did, and that team lost to Michigan. That team was put together perfectly, you know, with Chandler, and then Ziegler is a nice backup. You can play them together. Yeah. I mean, that team was Final Four caliber and lost to Michigan. So sometimes it's just like, you know, like this team didn't quite have the right things in the right places. But, yeah, I mean, the 2018-19 team, absolutely Final Four with that. That team could have won a national championship. And a dude named Ryan Klein from Purdue started hitting 28-footers on them, you know? So it's the tournament does that to you. The problem is, usually if you're in this thing enough, like, you get some and you take some, you know? Like, and it's just too much for Rick Barnes historically in this thing of just being on the wrong side of it. 27-27 now all time.
Well, we've talked about it. Like, I think Rick Barnes is a good coach, and I think obviously there's a reason he's been as successful as he has been. But everything we know about Rick Barnes and what he does in the regular season and the talent of the teams that he puts together, all those things that we've talked about, that and then that tournament record of 27-27, like, those two things just don't add up. They don't come close to adding up to me. And, you know, the sample size is large enough to where that's not coincidence to me anymore. Like, there's – and I couldn't tell you what it is. I'm not smart enough to identify what the problems are in the tournament and why he can never really find a way to break through. But those two things, what we know of Rick Barnes as a coach and a roster builder and all these things in the regular season, and those and that tournament record that you just threw out there, those two things do not add up together to me.
No, they don't. It's just, and, you know, again, he has the worst record in history if you have minimum 10 games against higher seeded teams. So, like, never, you know, pulls off, you know, the upsets. Because remember, you know, Tennessee was technically higher seeded than Duke, even though that was an example of overachieving in the tournament. And that's why that game was like, oh wow.
Yep.
I mean, that was you know, overachieving relative to expectations, at least. So, but yeah, I mean, look, you can't look at that and say it's just purely random. I can't sit here. I mean, last year, certainly against Michigan, especially because I had this argument with Jared. You know, Jared's like, he choked, you know, and I'm like, okay, but where did he choke? Because the thing is, I mean, Juwan Howard deserves credit for going zone, because Chandler was killing them. But, okay, so Tennessee had its shooters wide open for shots. Like, I mean, like, if you're a coach in an NCAA tournament game and you get good shooters, like 40% three-point shooters, wide open shots, yeah, you've done – that's your coaching is good, okay? You got shots. Like, and so they missed those shots. over and over again, and they lost that game. I didn't see, I don't remember, I can't think of one thing in that game that he should have done differently. And last night, I can't think of, other than, again, I think earlier in that run, you take a timeout, and I think that is a thing that he does, you know, as he lets it go a little bit too much and lets them kind of work through it. And sometimes then an 8-0 run becomes a 14-2 run, you know?
Yeah.
But all that said, without having the specific, oh, this is where you fall short, the results do speak for themselves.
Chuck on the text line says, before you say next year's team is going to be pretty good, you better wait and see what Tennessee players end up in the transfer portal. This is from Chuck on the text line. What do you think the roster is going to look like for Rick Barnes next year?
I think Vescovy's gone. Kamwa's gone. Plavsic is gone. I think Key was he's a grad anyway. Again, I think of all those seniors, I guess it's possible that Josiah James comes back.
He played Chris Lofton, didn't he?
Exactly. Yeah. What's the core? I mean, it's still good. I mean, look, I think Mayshak's going to be a really good player. He's just starting to – I mean, he really is scratching the surface. Ziegler back, that's a really nice backcourt. You know, and you could look at it like I think Mayshak has to play on the wing, and I think he's going to be an even better shooter next year. And I think that, you know, those two guys are going to be out there a lot. Adu is – bulk up a little bit, keep working on the post game. You know, that's a nice – and Tobe Awaka is going to be a really good player too. So right there, I mean, those four guys, I think are I would assume all of them are there. The obvious big question is Julian Phillips. If you look at, like, it's our guy Sam Vecenie for The Athletic has him as a first-round pick. Most people don't. I can't believe that he would go in the first round.
I don't know how that would even be possible.
I mean, with that size and, with the measurables and everything, sometimes that happens. You're drafted on potential, but I think he absolutely should come back and try to be, a key player, a focal point next year and get himself to where he's a solidified first rounder. We'll see if that's what he does. You know, I mean, ultimately, if you get feedback from enough feedback that you're a first round pick, okay, then go. But remember, go to the NBA, you got about a couple years. You got about a couple years. And this is where the mistakes are made, and I've seen it way too often, where it's like, yeah, you could get drafted now, but are you ready to stick in the league? You got to be ready to stick in the league. So that's I do think with NIL now, it's a lot easier for guys to at bigger programs, to be like, okay, let me develop here. I like college, I can get better and still get some money. So that's a huge question. If they have him, that's obviously a difference maker. I mean, we saw enough this year from him where when he's right, I mean, he is explosive. He's talented. I have to think the hip just never got right. I can't think of any other explanation for how ineffective he was down the stretch here. They got the top 15-ish class coming in. They'll hit the portal. They'll be good. I mean, I think Ziegler Mayshak is a intangibly, because those are a couple battlers, and that's what you want. I mean, you want guys like that who've got the real high level of competitiveness. And so I think you start there.
By the way, around the rest of the action last night in the Sweet 16, including at Madison Square Garden, Kansas State wins 98-93 in overtime last night in a wild game at Madison Square Garden. Speaking of wild games, Gonzaga takes down UCLA last night, 79-76. UConn destroys Arkansas, 88-65. So those were the other three games in addition to the Tennessee game yesterday. But, Joe, you were there for Michigan State, Kansas State. What a game that was.
Holy cow, man. I mean, just incredible game. Incredible. And, yeah, it's a thing. I mean, Michigan State, great offensive game. They were fun to watch. But, I mean, it was about Marquise Knowles. That guy, 20 points and 19 assists.
Yep.
And, I mean, most of those 19 assists were like, holy cow.
Highlight reel.
Yeah, like a dunk or a layup. man.
The fake yelling at the coach at lob to alley-oop was at that point in the game. Michelle sent it to us earlier, and I saw it last night while it was going on. It was pretty wild to do something like that at that point in the game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A tie game in overtime?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, unbelievable.
Like the old play in football when, like, in like youth football, and you're like, hey, this is the wrong ball, and you start walking over to the sideline, and all of a sudden they snap it. It's great.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that was incredible. And that's the thing. One thing I thought of was, gosh, that guy and Zakai Ziegler, how fun would that have been? And, you know, in New York, I still thought we'd see the balls get a crack, you know, at defending him. So, but no, he needs to be in the Final Four. All due respect to the Owls. The Owls are good, and it's an incredible run to the Elite Eight. I feel like basketball needs Marquise Knoll in the Final Four.
Best player in the tournament by far.
Yeah, he's been great. He's been great so far, no question about it. By the way, shout out to Drew Timmy last night from Gonzaga, who had 36 points, 13 rebounds, and it feels like Drew Timmy's been playing college basketball since the days of Mecca Okafor, but what a win for Gonzaga last night.
Yeah, you're talking about playing with Lofton. Jeez, Timmy was there before those guys. Yeah, I didn't get to see much of that game, unfortunately, because I was writing, you know, at the Garden, but sounds like a wild one. UCLA was just crushing them.
Yeah.
They were down 9 with, like, less than two minutes to go, and then it was, you know, back-to-back. I think of the Jalen Snug shot. It basically
Suggs.
It was basically that. I mean, it was an awesome, incredible game. Just go watch the last, like, 3 minutes.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions. Hit up our text line, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we encourage your participation, your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line for this weekend, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rex Road, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Let's see. We had a lot. So, Robbie, you said Tom Izzo's Sparties win by 10-plus against USC.
I don't know if
they won by 10.
10, exactly.
Nice. Kentucky win by 15 against Providence. Fall by 15 to K-State.
Didn't happen.
No.
Tomasino will score a goal in each game this weekend.
Did not happen.
Now, here's an interesting one. Lankinen will shut out the Rangers Sunday.
They did basically the exact opposite of that. Allowed a goal on basically every shot.
Michelle had Tennessee beats Duke on a last-second three by Josiah Jordan-James.
Mm. No, but they did beat Duke.
They did beat Duke. Vescovy will score 10 with 11 assists. It didn't happen. Kentucky will beat Providence by 10 or less, and Hopkins 8 or less points.
Okay, Hopkins had 8 points, so got that one.
Wow. Okay.
And they did win by less than 10 points.
1-8.
So, ding, 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 Michelle Knezovic.
All right. UT and Kentucky will meet in the Elite Eight.
Oops.
Yeah, could have been tomorrow. Could have been tomorrow. Let's see. I said Vols will beat Duke. That's right. We both had Josiah hitting a three, but we both had Vols beating Duke. Euros Plavšić will score in double figures versus Duke. That didn't happen. He played a role, though.
Set the tone, though.
Auburn will take down Houston by double figures. They were up 10 at the half.
They were.
Bryce Drew and Gonzaga will I wrote it wrong. Bryce Drew and Grand Canyon over Gonzaga. Mm. That didn't happen. And I said Vanderbilt will beat Michigan behind 15-plus from Colin Smith. I think he did. Did he have 15? He had a pretty big game. So I'll look.
We'll tentatively count it.
I don't want to give myself credit. Yeah, we'll tentatively count it. Yeah, I'll look. I was in the right range.
That's right. Michelle Knezovic, kick us off with today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday.
Okay, would love to. Speaking of Kansas State, Marquise Knoll. in the FAU Elite Eight game, he will have 18 or more assists. Ooh. Again, he will go back-to-back.
Wow.
And like I'm calling the shot. K-State's winning it all. I told Robbie last night at the Preds game, new favorite team. Yeah, K-State, I'm full on the K-State train.
Wow. From Wildcat to Wildcat.
Exactly. I got purple fingernails right now. I'm all in. Okay, next. By this time next week, Lamar Jackson will not be a Baltimore Raven.
Oh, wow. How about that?
That one's a spicy one.
I like that.
That is a shot.
Another K-State shot. They will beat FAU by at least 10 points.
Wow.
In the Elite Eight. And I only have three today.
Okay, there you go. Joe Rexroad, your called shots for the week.
That is four, by the way.
I can't count. It's the 6 a.m. hour. Thanks, Joe. Well,
I'm just saying.
That was embarrassing.
Four is good. Four is a good number. All right, well, I'm looking at this shot. I'm like, have I called this? Has anybody called this? I don't know, but I'm antsy, you know, for the see if the Titans are going to do something. I will say the Titans will trade for Mike Evans.
Okay, I like that.
Okay,
there we go. Now we're talking.
That's a long term shot. Yeah, I mean it's a long term shot, but yeah, Titans will trade for Mike Evans. K-State and UConn will advance to the Final Four.
Ooh.
Which I don't know if that's really huge shots, but both of them with double-digit wins.
Mm.
And so I think UConn beating Gonzaga by double digits counts as a shot. I believe it, man. UConn is at least one of my bracket things that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Princeton tonight, 8 o'clock, will beat Creighton on a last-second three-pointer.
Oh, get excited.
Woo!
And San Diego State against Alabama will be within five, but lose.
Oh, thanks.
I was like, no. I was like, he's not doing it. He's not doing it.
Well, I am doing
that
it.
That's still a shot. You are?
San Diego State takes down Alabama. Book it.
Yeah.
You heard it. You heard it here first. San Diego State takes down Alabama. Coming up later today. Write it down. I'll take another step further. FAU takes down Kansas State, too. The Owls heading to the Final Four. So there's two college basketball called shots right out of the gate for you right
wow.
there. Connor McDavid, who reached the 60-goal plateau the other night, will finish the season with 71 goals, a very specific number. They have 10 games left. He scores 11 goals in those 10 games. 71 goals Connor McDavid will finish with. And Cal Foote will score the first goal of the game tomorrow for the Predators against Seattle. Cal Foote, the first goal of the game. What do you make of that one, Rex Road?
That's also a very good shot.
Those are some spicy calls.
I'm glad we don't have Preds click to pick, so you can't get another point.
Well, I think my
click to pick.
My least ridiculous called shot out of that one was Connor McDavid rolling off 11 goals in 10 games, which is insanely difficult to do. So we'll see what happens on that front. Devin from Dover,
I can see it
on the text line, says my called shot is the Vols won't make the tournament next year. Devin from Dover coming out of the gate swinging today. I like it.
Okay,
Cam.
We'll see. It could happen.
Cam on the text line says, Eli Tolvanen scores Saturday, but the Preds win in regulation. This is from Cam on the text line. Not a whole lot from Eli Tolvanen last night.
Was there a big tribute?
There was about a 35-second tribute video, yes.
That's nice.
And Tolvanen 35. Waved to the crowd and touched his heart. It was a very heartfelt moment from Eli Tolvanen last night. Good to see.
That's very nice. Yeah, it is. 35 seconds, man. That's
I didn't time it. That's just my guesstimation and how long it took place.
Okay. I mean that's pretty good for that limited amount of service and, you know, production.
Highlights. Yes. Could have played every one of the goals he scored in the Predators in 35 seconds. That was mean. 615-737-1025.
Okay.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on a serious week of tweets from Jared on that front as it relates to the Tennessee basketball program. We'll get into that coming up next. Let me tell you about the Nashville Predators. Speaking of the game last night, nice win for the Predators in the shootout. And season tickets are on sale now for the 2023-24 season. Preds will be celebrating their 25th anniversary next season, and full half and quarter season plans are available. You can join the Loyal Legion today and receive the best seat locations at the best pricing, up to 50% off discounts on concessions throughout the season as well, and up to 6 bonus tickets to select games in the 2023-24 season, plus big times this summer, priority access to the 2023 NHL Draft and awards, which are going to be hosted here in Nashville. You can learn more at NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/season tickets.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No